Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Shabua Tov. Shabua. The Shabua, the seven to come right here, here, here. Here at the head day, at the first day of the Shabua right here. And here we're at the 50th day of the count right here. So here was the Yom Tov, Yawam Tawab. Yawam Tawab, Yom Tov, Yom Day, good day. What's the good day right here? It's the Shabuot, here the 50th day. Here we're at the morrow. The morrow after the seventh, right? The seventh Shabbat that we commanded to count complete. So here in the season, the upper room, the higher heights. Let's go to the higher heights right here. We're going to ride up with the Haftarah reading, the prophet's reading, as well as with the Brit Chadash reading. See if you get some reason in as well right here. But here for the harvest. In this season, on touch on the feast. We were speaking about the feast a little bit earlier. The Chag, Shabuot Sameach, Chag, feast, Shabuot, week, Sameach, joyful feast, right? Joyful feast right here in the season. So there's a truce. There's a temporal type, the agricultural type, you know, according to the land. Right, there's that first type, and then there is a second, the new and the living way that he has consecrated for I and I through the veil. Now, you say the tabernacle study is very, very important. As John says to Moshe, even in the word, he says, see that you do all things according to the pattern. So if you're into pattern recognition, let's recognize the pattern. The pattern that we have here from Pesach, according to HaTorah, and from Bikurim, from the first fruits, right, to the Shabuot, the seven Shabbats. And Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, is a very good connection right here with the feast and the season from what may be called the Old, right, or the Brit HaYishana to the Brit Chadasha. To the new covenant. So here the feast. Let's touch on Chag, right? The word Chag for feast. So we have the word Chag. Look at the Metzah cycle. Now, with the feast here, in the first of the two types, the agriculture, the crops, the income from the land, even the promised land, the good land, the earth is Yahweh, Yahuwah's, and all the fullness of Ha, right? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. More fully, the earth is Yahweh's, he who be, who he be, in all her fullness, the world and all they that dwell in her, right? All they that dwell in her. So we have the earth, like say Mother Earth, bringing forward, right, the crops that Father God, Father Elohim has blessed. So from the land, we get the food, the crops, right? And what do? With food. We eat. Right, so in the first type, overstand, right? So the feast, the Chag, right, is the appropriation in large measure, the receiving in large measure. That is laying hold of the divine, the divine potentiality, the divine potential. In other words, the sower went forth to sow a seed. Now, here's where the Brit Chadasha and the teaching of Rabbeinu Talmudim, brother and sister Talmudim, disciples, here's what the teaching of I and I Rabbi, the Rabbi Yeshua HaMashiach, is so very vital, right? So very vital. It's a necessity. It's a must and a necessity to fully be able to receive the fuller fullness. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 13, right? Matthew chapter 13 and zoom in particularly. There's about four or five, I think, parables in that one chapter there. And the first of all, the parables there, the parables, the proverbs, the allegories, the similes, the different words in the English, but comes down to the same thing in the Afro-Semitic, in the Hebrew, the Royal Mark, the likenesses. What is it like? What it be like? What does it be like? So as Moshiach said, he shows us earthly things. So we should be able to see the earthly, the natural things, so we can appropriate, even assimilate the spiritual things. So checking the physical things, the outer things, so we can get the inner things, the metaphysical things. So a feast, Let's touch on feasts right here. Let's reason a little bit on feasts. Right? Metaphysically speaking, appropriation in large measure, that is laying hold of divine potentialities as one reaping the crop from the land, lays hold even of the wheat and has like a sickle, right? You're laying hold of it and you're reaping it. The same way of laying hold of the divine potentialities, right? In that ground, in the ground of being. So we have the natural ground, right? And then we have the spiritual, what ones may say supernatural, not to spook it out, but you have the physical ground, the outer ground, and then we have the inner ground. So several of the miracles, the amazing done did deeds of Yeshua HaMashiach, they were in connection. Note this here, that several of the miracles of Yeshua were in connection with a feast, with a chag. Have you noticed that? Some chag of some kind. When we see the chag, Hebraically, we're speaking about the feast. Noting that several, enough of the miracles of Yeshua, they were in connection with a feast. One of the appointed, right, Isla days, good days, Yom Tov days of some kind. See, eating, let's talk about eating. One don't want to say, well, you know, so-and-so got to eat. You know, N-word got to eat. We got to eat. The Beta Israel got to eat. Well, eating, what is eating? Eating is the outer representation. This is the itiful thing about the true roots of the true Rastafari, that sup. Come, we sup together, right? Eating is the outer representation of an inward fact, facts. Eating is the outer representation of an inward and the innermost of the innocence fact. That fact being spiritual, that fact being iritical, as I and I say, being spiritual. Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua HaNotri. He used, what did Yeshua do? What did Rabbeinu do? How did he teach China? He used the outer symbol, right? The outer symbol to represent the spiritual, the inner reality. When he told Talmudayo, his disciples, to do what? To eat the bread of his body and to drink the wine of his blood. Again, Yeshua, HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, Rabbeinu, Moshechenu. He used the outer symbol to represent the inner reality, the spiritual reality, when he told the Talmudim, his disciples, to eat the bread of his body and to drink the wine of his blood. When we affirm, oh, let's make a note right there. Note this right there. Go to John chapter 6, verse Well, verse 66 is 666. So look at John chapter. Let's go here together right here while ones and ones, hopefully, you know, rebooting and whatnot and coming forward to give ear here and to join I and I here in the upper room of Zion in the higher heights, right? The Ayahites, the Ariites, the higher heights, right? Not just speaking about the ground, the natural ground, but getting that example from the natural ground. But of course, when we are returned to the land, right, it will be both about the natural ground and the iritical ground and that ground of being, right? As Matthew said, like the spiritual, the material and the spiritual, that balance, right, that's so vital, right, to I and I well-being. But here, let's go to John's gospel for a moment. Johannes, right, Johannes. Let's go to John's gospel. Where was that again? Chapter 6. Yeah, 6 and verse 66. Wow. Well, let's go to verse 66 first and foremost, because here, once again, when we emphasize this point here, that eating, right, eating is an outer representation of an inner fact, and that fact is spiritual. Yeshua, using the outer symbol, right, to represent the inner reality, the spiritual reality, as Yeshua, Rabbeinu says, you know, that He does what he sees, Elohim Ha'ab, Eloheinu, right, Abuna, right, Abinu do, what he sees our Father do. So our Father, right, Yahuwah, he also does the same thing, even in HaTorah. He uses the outer symbol to represent the inner reality, the spiritual reality. Now, Yeshua had told his disciples to do what? To eat the bread of his body and to drink the wine of his blood. Now, of course, if somebody just hears this, like, oh, they cannibal, that cannibal. Well, no wonder he told you guys that think that's cannibalism. He told you guys a parable. Because if you're too stupid to recognize and listen to what he's saying, then you're not worthy to be in the number. But then he said to his disciples, and this is also in Matthew chapter 13. So take note, Matthew chapter 13. This is where Moshiach now really begins that kind of high school education, right, with the disciples. If you study the Gospels, it's really in a very orderly way. How Rabbeinu, I and I, Rabbi Yeshua, how Moshiach, how he brings forth the teaching. First of all, he gives some basics. And then he starts to bring out now the parables, like 13, at the 13th chapter. Also reminds me like when ones and ones go like the high school in that sense. In a sense, it is the high school of discipleship when he brings forth the parable. Even the disciples were like, why are you telling them parables? And he said, well, they're seeing see, but they don't really they get it. They're hearing here, and they don't really get it. You know, but to you, y'all get it. Why? Because we apply ourselves. Right, to study to show ourselves approved. Right, difference between a student and a disciple. The disciple got the book open. Disciple basically, in a sense, is running down the master. You know, the student is waiting for the teacher to come in and say, "Okay, class, settle down, open the book." The disciple already got the book open. Right, so right here, we have John chapter 6. Now, John chapter 6 is a John chapter 6 is an important chapter right here. We have the great Darasha, the great discourse sermon by Yeshua on the bread of life, the bread of life, right? And here as we get into this great sermon right here, right, Yeshua is saying to them, let's get this part where he's saying to them, because they started to murmur. Remember, they started to murmur, and he told them, don't murmur among yourselves. Right. Then Yeshua said to them, he said to them, right, he said, verily, verily, I say to, no, right here, let's go. We should actually get this whole thing in here so ones can know us. Let's go to the great discourse right here. Right. The following day, verse 22, John chapter 6, verse 22. The great Darasha in the Hebrew is like a sermon, a discourse, a reasoning. The great Darasha, right, on the bread of life. Right, on the bread of life, right, the lechem, right, lechme chayim. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save except the one wherein his disciples were entered. They're on the boats. Yes, I, black man, we got to get back on the boats, man. You afraid of water? Come on. You know, we got a boat. Nobody's asking to walk on water just yet. But, and that Yeshua went not with Talmidim, his disciples, into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh to the place where they did eat bread. So the eating, right, that outer thing, they ate bread. Right. After that, Ha'adon, the master, had given thanks. He gave Tawada. He gave Toda thanks. Miskana. When the people therefore saw that Yeshua was not there, neither Talmidayo, his Talmudim, they also took shipping. We got to take shipping again. You know what I mean? Because the majority of the earthly plane is water. See, the gospel, you say the gospel is about Jesus saves. No, that's a fact. Yeah, Yeshua sent to save I and I, sent to save his people, Yisrael. Yeah, that's a fact. But the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. Go read it, right? So they took the shipping, and they came to Capernaum, seeking for Yeshua, seeking. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? When do you come here? And Yeshua answered them and said, Amen, Amen. Omer lechem. Truly, truly, truth, truth. Verily, verily, I say to you, Amen, Amen. Omer lechem. Y'all seek me not because y'all saw the miracles, but because y'all did eat the loaves. Wait, loaves here. Here's Shavuot, the two loaves, right? They ate the loaves and were what? Filled. Labor not for the meat or the meal, labor not for a meal that perisheth, but for that meal that endureth to ever-living life, that the Son of Man, the Ben-Adam, shall give to you. For him hath Elohim Ha'ab, him hath God the Father Elohim Ha'ab sealed. Verse 28, then said they to him, what shall we do that we might walk the works of Elohim? What shall we do that we may work the works of Elohim, the works of the power, the source? Get this here. Verse 29, Yeshua's answer. Yeshua answered and said to them, this is the work of Elohim. This is the work. Now note here, even in the Torah reading and feeding and Numbers, right, we have the assignments. Everyone has their service. Nothing is less to guesswork or to make up, make believe. No, everyone has their service. So here they're asking about what work. What work shall we do? What shall we do that we might also work the works of Elohim? Yeshua says, this is the work of Elohim, that y'all be lived, that y'all amen, ma'amin, that y'all amen, ma'amin. All right, some will say, oh, that come from Egypt. Listen, maybe it does, but can you show me the verb? You see, can you show me the verb? Can you show me the verb that amen or amun or amon in the ancient Kemetic come from? In the Afro-Asiatic, we can show you the verb and all the parts of speech. That means that's the origin linguistically. But the good news is that Mitzrayim, the Kemetiyu, they're also Afro-Shemitic people. That's why we share the word. Not because the Hebrews got it from the Egyptians. If anyone, right, they already had that. Everybody had that. Don't make a big thing about that. But this is the work of Elohim, that your ma'amin, 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 amin, admit. Credit, right? Credit, admit on him whom he has sent. So the work of Elohim is that we amen. We amen. That's to say, amen, to bring it down into the English, that we credit. Yes, credit is actually faith. So think about that. In the world, they have all this credit thing going on. You got good credit, you got bad credit. But credit is the operative word for faith. If you want to go to a higher height, than just be naive and even face on that level to applicative level is to credit, right? Or to admit that y'all admit on him whom he have sent. Verse 30. They said therefore to him, what sign showest thou then that we, that I and I may see and believe thee and amen thee and credit thee and admit thee I? What dost thou work? What do you work? Wow. See, this is just like our people. This is just like the lost sheep. It's like Israel, even in America and the Caribbean, in this very day, 2022, the same sort of thing. First, notice what they said. They said, what shall we do that we may work the works of Elohim? You would think they want to work the works of Elohim. They want to do Jah works. Yeah, people say, I'm doing Jah works. Are you really? You know what I mean? You know, just feeding your face, you know, sweating your brow. That's not your work. That's your work. That's my work. That's our work. But they ask, what shall we do, right, that we might work the works of Elohim, right? And he gives them an answer. And now they say, well, what sign will you show us? Well, he comes back to, why did you even ask him to begin with, right? But they ask, what sign, right? One wants to see a sign. Say, is God real? God is not real. Elohim, Jah is not real. This is all you made. Can you prove it to us? Prove the X has happened. What sign? Sign is in the divine mind. What sign shewest thou then that we may see and amen thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers, our patriarchs, did eat manna, did eat angels' bread in the desert, Bamidbar. You know that the book of Numbers in Hebrew is called Bamidbar, which means in the desert, in the wilderness, in the desert. As it is written, Kakatub, he gave them bread from Shemayim to eat. Verse 32. Then Yeshua said to them, Amen, Amen, Omer Lachem. Amen, Amen, I say to you. That's verily, verily. Amen, Amen, I say to you. Amen, Amen, Omer Lachem. Moshe gave you not that bread from Shemayim, but Abi, my father, my Ab, Abi giveth you the true bread, the true lechem, means Shemayim, from the heavens. For the bread of Elohim is he that comes down from Shemayim and giveth life to the world. Then said they to him, Adoni, evermore give I and I this bread, for I but to time and definitely give us this bread. And Yeshua said to them, I am, Anahu, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that ameneth, admitteth as truest, crediteth on me, on I, shall never thirst. But I say to you that ye y'all also have seen me. You have seen I, and don't amen, and amen not, and believe not, and credit not, and admit not. All that the Father Ha'am giveth me, giveth I, shall come to me, shall come to I. And him that cometh to I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from Shemayim, from the place, the Sham, there, Mayim, there's water, from the place of the celestial waters. Not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent I. And this is Ha'ab, the Father's will, that have sent I, that of all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing, no thing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent I, that everyone who seeth Habain, who seeth the Son, and ameneth and admitteth and crediteth on him may have everlasting eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, that seems pretty much straightforward and also in tune with the reason for the season that we can say succinctly in a part of a chorus. Kawam, Yasharala, rise, Yisrael, rise, rise. But here, at verse 41, the Yehudim, our people, right? The Yehudim, right? It says the Jews, even we the black Jews, the Yehudim, right? Then murmured at him because of what he said, remind me of the verse in the scripture that says that y'all make a man an enemy because of a word. You know, how many of y'all like, because somebody says a certain word, even all the things you might like or whatever like that, but they said something and that just is like, now you're enemies for life or for eternal life, right? Notice what's happening right here. Let's get the Hebrew of this. What's this? Verse 41 right here. Hold. Verse 41. It says that Yehudim murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven, right? And the Yehudim, they murmured at him because he said, Anoki, who? Who is he? Anoki, who? So in the Hebrew, to say like I, like say I am. We don't have like the am and the is like that in Hebrew, but Anoki, who? I be the lechem, the bread, yored, to descend, Ha-Yored. I am the descender, right? The bread, the descender, the bread that descends, mean Ha-Shamayim, from the place of the waters, or what is often translated as heaven. And they said, is not this Yeshua ben Yosef, ben Joseph, son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he saith, I came down from Shamayim? Yeshua therefore answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. And he's like, talk to me. I'm talking to you, but you're murmuring among yourselves. Talk to me. Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except Ha'ab, the Father, who hath sent me, draw him. Now, this is a powerful word when we think about so-called Christianity or what ones and ones say they believe in the Bible. Because it says right here, people are trying to, like, make a person Christian or make a person this or that. Here, according to Robeno, according to what is written, right, Yeshua is saying that no man can come to him, right, except Ha'ab, except the Father, Elohim Ha'ab, who had sent him, draw him. And then he says, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of Elohim. Every man, therefore, that have heard and have learned of Ha'ab, cometh to me. Oh, this is it. This is it. You hear some folks say, yeah, I was Christian. Yeah, but you wasn't a disciple. You was Christian, yeah, yeah. But even the disciples, they were Nazarene. Only later on somebody else called them another name. But you never got to the root. You never read this here? Where Yeshua himself, red letter says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of Elohim. They shall all be taught of Elohim. So here it says in the prophets. So where is this in the prophets? Right? It's Isaiah, Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 54 and 13. So here Yeshua is quoting the prophets. He's quoting the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, Isaiah 54 and 13. Every man, therefore, that have heard, right? So every man that's heard. So now when we go and now compare this here with Matthew chapter 13, when it's talking about the sower going forth to sow the seed, right? And then Yeshua gives the disciples, gives I and I the breakdown. He break it down and we get the build on it. Everyone hears. The waysiders hear it. The stony ground is here. The thorny ones hear it, right? But only the good grounders, right? Only the good grounders bear something. Some may be 30%. Right? A 30% harvest. It's not 100, but it's still good. Something has grown. A 60% harvest. Or some keep it 100. But here's the key. Every man, therefore, that have heard, as we read over the parable, each one of them has heard. Each one of them has heard. The time right here, 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 let's go here, because we have to connect these dots, not just, you know, just throwing a bunch of verses, but let's go through the verse, at least zoom in on the portion right here so we can understand the significance of the harvest, right, in the new and the living way, right, concerning the harvest, the irid, the spirit harvesting, right, of Yeshua HaMashiach. So right here, 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 hear the parable, hear y'all therefore the parable of the sower. We're in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. Hear y'all the parable, the proverb, the allegory. A lot of you like that word. It's an allegory. The Bible is an allegory. Okay. But allegory has a purpose. Oh, no wonder the disciples came to him and said, why speakest thou to these multitudes in parables? And then Yeshua answered and said, because it is given to you to know. I'm speaking in the parable to see if it's like bait for fish, right? If somebody really gets curious about the parable and really seeks him and they want to get a breakdown and build, well, that means they're disciple material. Otherwise, you know. Because it is given to you, Yeshua said, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of Shamayim, but to them it is not given. Uh-oh. But they all heard the parable. This is the allegory. The ones that say the Bible is an allegory. You all sound like the multitude, not like the disciples. Yeshua says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, more and more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Chan. wow, whoever has, more will be given. So even those who might only bring forth in this season 30-fold of the 9 fruits of the Spirit, or 60-fold, right, of the 9 fruits, more can be given. But to the what do you call it, to the waysiders and to the stony grounders and to the thorny grounders, wow, even, you know, they think they understand that the Bible's a parable. No, there are parables in the Bible. For example, 13:13, Matthew 13:13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because disciples want to know, why are you speaking to the multitude in parables? And Yeshua now turns to his disciples and say, this is the reason why I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not. Seen, as the rest of them say, seen, the elves say, seen, sight, they'll reason on something, they say, you see, your sight, you know, and hearing, you hear, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Yeshayah, Esaias, that saith, by hearing y'all shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing y'all shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, this latter-day lost sheep obey the Israel people's heart, really, is really waxing gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. That's a powerful verse right there, because it almost says, like, unless one is in conformity and spirit and truth of this world, then really Messiah is not going to heal you. Think about it for a moment. He's saying, you know, unless these things happen and they be converted from their stray way to Yahweh, then he's not going to heal them. But if they should be converted, I should heal them. But he says to I and I, to the disciples, right, and those who take the discipleship seriously. You call yourself a Christian all day long. Right? You know, the disciple didn't call himself Christian. Other people call us names. Right? Verse 16 says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say to you that many prophets, Nabiyat, Nabiyim, and righteous men and tzaddikim have desired to see those things which y'all see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which y'all hear and have not heard them. Now that we got from verse 10 to verse 17, let's zoom in on verse 18. Hear y'all therefore the parable of the sower. You know, a sower, like, you know, you can't reap. What you reap is what you sow. Have you sown anything? Hear y'all now the parable of the sower. And if you have sown into the ground of your being, have you first considered what is the ground of your being? You know, what kind of ground your being is? Verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Oh, that's what the sower is sowing, the word of the kingdom? The gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the government. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. It's obvious that a lot of ones who call themselves or have called themselves Christian and, you know, have not really understood what they had heard, you know, because see, they think the gospel is one thing, but they're not reading. The gospel is not that thing that they think it is. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of government for Yisrael. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh that ratchet one, the Rasha, the wicked one, the Hasatan, the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Oh, the heart by the wayside. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Now, I want you to note here that all the different types of ground, the three, we could say, bad types of ground, and the one good type of ground, that everyone hears. Everyone has heard, right? Even those who don't believe, they've heard, right? Verse 20, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, I like to call this a hardheads, right? The irritical hardheads. But he that receiveth seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word. So this one hears too. And a nun hears an old King Jamesian for immediately. So let's read it like that. And immediately with joy receiveth it. Ani lechozer, I repeat. and Degana. But he that receiveth seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and immediately with joy he receiveth it. Now, that sounds like a good thing. Not saying that joy is not a good thing, but check this. Verse 21. Yet hath he not root in himself. Rastafari. So are the roots. What about root? Have you root in yourself? Yet hath he not root in himself. Yet he hath not root himself, but dureth or endureth for a while. I've heard some people say, yeah, you know, I was Christian for a while. Were you? Really? Oh, one said, yeah, I was Rasta for a while. Oh, yeah, really? Sound like this Matthew chapter 13, verse 21. Yet hath he not root in himself. So I didn't think we should be asking people to say, yeah, I was Rasta for a while. Did you have root in yourself? But dureth for a while. They endure for a while. You know, they go along with it for a while, right? What happens? Well, Yeshua says, for when tribulation or persecution, tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, what does it say? He trim up. No, it says, by and by, he is offended. Oh, that's what happened, right? When they had the bone lie, you know, the bone lie and everything. Many ones once trimmed up, right? They endured for a while. Why they trimmed up? Because there was no root in themselves. Must be the stony ground. Yet he have not rooted in himself, but dureth for a while, endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word. Remember the word, the sower souls, that word, the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. But by and by he is offended. Or to bring out the original sense of this in the language, if you look this up, the word offense in the Koine Coptic Greek is the word scandalio. Scandalio, the scandalio, or scandalizo, and scandalio. It sounds like scandal, yeah, that's the word. But actually, scandal, a scandalion, is a foot trap. It's like basically, you know, like when people are hunting animals or whatever, and they put traps, so if the animal run this way, they catch their foot. That's what it's saying. That's what Yeshua is bringing out. By and by, he is tripped up, offended. Something caught their foot. They can't keep trotting. They can't keep walking with eye and eye. They can't keep walking the way. They start to sota and go astray. Verse 22, he also that receiveth seed among thorns. So far we have two types of ground. We have the waysiders and we have the stony, right? Hard-headed or the stony, right? Verse 22 says, it says, he also that receiveth seed, right? That's the word, right? Among the thorns, is he that heareth the word. Wait, so the wayside has heard the word. The stony ground has heard the word. Now these thorny ones, they heard the word too. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world, we like to call this the care and the career, right, of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Oh, so the thorny now. Now, let's clarify something, because sometimes people read this, and they read this from a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Western Gentile mind, and they read this word here, and they say, wait, it's talking about the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches? Oh, poverty? No. It didn't say anything wrong with riches. Nothing wrong with riches. But there's a deceitfulness. Are you aware of what the deceitfulness of riches is? It chokes the word. It chokes the word. And he becometh unfruitful. Now, this right here is, wow, it's a manifest. This happens. You know? That's why His Majesty, Gormawi Ngusu Nagesse, when he speaks about, yes, let's bring this out right here. His Imperial Majesty speaks on religion. This is how the translator translated. We say Haimanot, knowing the language, the living faith, right? The Emuna, Imnet, from the Amena, right? What we admit, the living admittance. He says here, to make our wills obedient to good influences and to avoid evil is to show the greatest wisdom. See, he didn't just say to make our wills obedient to good influence. See, some people do that. But the fuller teaching is, and you got to catch that and there, that conjunction, that added to, right? And to avoid evil. It's not just to make your will, if you make your will of being to good influence, you also have to be able to avoid evil in order to show and manifest the greatest wisdom, the greatest chokmah, the greatest Hebrew Sophia. In order to follow this aim, one must be guided by religion. That word religion. Let's break it down. Religion is hymenot, right? The emunah, the imnet. It's from the very same root as amenet, the very same root as the noun amen, right? The living faith. Progress about religion, hymenot, the living faith, is just like a life surrounded by unknown perils and can be compared to a body without a soul. Benjamin, what you call that? A duppy, right? A body without a soul. Knowing that material and spiritual progress are essential to man. See, in these counterfeit religions, they tell us all about this spiritual stuff. This is all the spiritual stuff. Forget about materialism, you know, all the spiritual stuff. But the real teaching of the King of Kings is knowing that the material and spiritual progress are essential to man. And we learn this even in Torah. The Torah is teaching us this as well, right? Material and the spiritual. It's essential to man. We must ceaselessly work for the equal attainment of both. So when we're looking at Shavuot here at the 50th day, we call this the Rastafari Pentecost Day, this day right here in season, the Feast of the Holy Spirit in the upper room of Zion, we see it in both of the two types. So we're in that land, the consciousness of the King of Kings Christ, and that ground there, so we can have the fruit of the Spirit. But now when we return to the land, right, come up and out of that, there's a twofold truth, the crop from the ground, right, and the irritical, the spiritual crop, the material food and the spiritual food, right? Only then shall we be able to acquire that absolute inner calm, call that shalom, that absolute inner calm, so necessary to our well-being. That we may be being, how it be, what it be like, well-being, our well-being. Whenever conflict arises between material and spiritual values, the conscience plays an important role. You know, the Gospels speak about how sometimes people get their conscience burned out, seared with a hot iron. All right? We pray that does not happen to the brothers and sisters. You know, whenever conflict, or whenever conflict arises between material and spiritual values, the conscience. Let's break down that word conscience quickly. Conscience, right? The etymology of conscience, right? Cone means with, right? Cone means with, right? Cone means with, and science, scientia means knowing or knowledge, with knowing. Knowing what you know, what are you going to do? Whenever conflict arises between material and spiritual values, the conscience, the with knowing, the conscience plays an important role. And anyone who suffers from a guilty conscience is never really free from this problem until he makes peace with himself and his conscience. You see, once I make peace with himself and the conscience, they think by going to God, God is going to do it. God is going to tell you the same thing. Make peace with yourself and your conscience, because they're not making peace with themselves and their conscience and think they're finding fault and errors in your word. No, that's with yourself and your conscience that you get the error. Discipline of the mind. What? Discipline of the mind, the King of Kings, Nebuchadnezzar, teaches. Discipline of the mind, what the scripture says, let this mind be in you, the mind that's in the Moshiach. Discipline of the mind, the Moshiach mindfulness. Discipline of the mind, the Christ consciousness. Discipline of the mind is a basic ingredient of genuine morality. Oh, wow. That means that there's genuine morality, there's morality that's not genuine. Discipline of the mind is a basic ingredient of genuine morality and therefore spiritual strength. Spiritual power is the eternal guide. What kind of power? Temporal power? No, spiritual power is the eternal guide in this life and the life after, in this liberty and the olam haba, and the olam haba and the life to come and the world to come. For man, who? Man ranks supreme among all creatures. Yes, that's true. Man ranks supreme. right, created in his image and after his likeness, led forward by spiritual power, man can reach the summit, the higher heights, the summit, right, the upper room, even the upper room, the Zion, right, destined for him by the great creator. So here, just had to share that right there. Once again, let's look at 2:2 again. So when it says, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. So all of them hear the word. This is the third kind of, you could say, ground, right? And the care of this world. He said, love not the world or the things that be in it, right? Yeshua says, I don't pray for the world. He said, pray for us, the disciples. Hallelujah, right? So the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes the word. It chokes the word, right? It's like they say to Job, first I got to get my dollars up, then I'll check you. Okay, all right. And he becometh unfruitful. Now, verse 23 right here. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground, that good ground of being, right, of their well-being, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it and comprehendeth it, who also beareth fruit and and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. You know, that part, they always caught me in the early days. Why did he say, I thought the one that hears it would always bring forth 100-fold. But then as I grew, I began to recognize it's pointing into an agricultural type. So it's like, say at first, one starts out, right? Probably 30%. You know what I mean? Because you're still learning. You know, like practice makes perfect. But it's just interesting right there. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold, right? Right there. You know, so here, with John chapter 6, just to connect this, John chapter 6, verse 45, it is written in the prophets, going to write up the Haftarah, the prophets, and the Brit Hadasha for this Shabbat Naso, here on the Yom Tov, on the Shavuot, the harvest here in this season, the feast of the Holy Spirit in the upper room of Zion. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of Elohim. Every man, therefore, that have heard. Every man, therefore, that have heard and have learned of Ha'ab. So hearing and learning of Ha'ab, learning of the Father, cometh to me, cometh to I. Not that any man have seen Ha'ab, save except for he who is of Elohim. He have seen Ha'ab. Amen, amen, Omer Lekem. Verily, verily, amen, 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 I say to you, he that ameneth, that crediteth, that believeth, that admits as truest on I, have eternal life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers, your patriarchs, they did eat manna in the wilderness, in the midbar, and are dead. This is the bread that cometh down from Shemayim, from the heavens, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread that came down from Shemayim, from the place of the celestial waters. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever and ever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, that I will give for the life of the world. It's interesting in the Hebrew, we can look at that. Let's look at that in the Hebrew. Sometimes we look at this translation and it's kind of interesting right here, because the same word for world in a construct means forever, right? So we're going to look at this right here. He says, Be'ad chaye ha'olam. Chaye ha'olam could be interpreted as life of the world, or it could be interpreted as forever life. But now in verse 52, it says, Ha-Yehudim, the Jews, the Judahites, you know, Jah people, right? We the black ones who are now found. They therefore strove among themselves. You know, you say something, right? And people are arguing, not with you, but now arguing among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? Verse 53, then Yeshua said to them, Amen, amen. All right, let's get this right here. Let's get this right here. All right, we're just going from our recall right here just to make sure that we're sharing what is right and accurate right here. Verse 53. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It says, Vayomer lehem Yeshua, amen, amen, ani. Ani omer. Ani omer. Ani, I omer. I say. Ani omer. I say lakem to y'all. Right, I'm saying to you all right here, yeah. Verse 53, amen, amen, I say to you all, except y'all eat the flesh of the Ben Adam and drink his blood, y'all have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, is meal indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, and I and I and I. Verse 57. As the living Father, right, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Verse 58, this is that bread that came down from Shemaim, not as your patriarchs, as your fathers did eat manna and are dead up. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Verse 59, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now here. Discipleship is tested by doctrine. Discipleship is tested by the teaching. Write this down. Discipleship is tested by doctrine. All right? See, a disciple is a disciple not because you like them or I like them, but because they're in the teaching. They're in the doctrine. All right? Discipleship is tested. It's tested. Discipleship is tested by doctrine. Okay, here. So we're going to look up something right there. Okay, so here, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, check this out. Verse 60, after what I just read. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Yeshua knew in himself that Talmudim, his disciples, murmured at it, he said to them, does this scandalize you? Does this offend you? What and if y'all shall see the Ben-Adam ascend, aliyah up, where he was before? Then verse 63. Now note this right here. Note what he says in verse 63. Here's the key. It is the spirit that quickeneth. In other words, the spirit that giveth life. It's the irit, the spirit. Remember here, the feast of the Holy Spirit, right in the upper room of Zion, the outpouring of the Ruach HaKadosh. He says, it is haruach. It is the irit, the menfes. It's the spirit that quickeneth, that giveth life. Quickeneth is to give life. It's an old King Jamesian type of thing. But the meaning is give life. The flesh, what? The flesh, who? The flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing, no thing. The flesh profiteth nothing. I remember he was speaking to them in parables. See, they didn't understand the parables. They were like, oh, man, this is cannibalism. And now he breaks it down. He gives them, you know, he's trying to give them an opportunity to come up, you know, come up a little higher. But they want to, I guess they want to roll on their bellies, right? But it is the spirit that quickeneth, that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words, hadibarim, the words, sound power, that I speak to you, they are spirit, they're irit, ruach, and they are chai. The words that I speak, they are ruach, they are spirit, and they are chai. They are life, they are liberty. Verse 64, but, this is Yeshua speaking on, but there are some of you that believe not, that don't amen, that don't credit, that don't believe, that don't admit as truth. For Yeshua knew from the beginning who they were that amen not, that accredited not, that discredited, right? And who should betray him? Verse 65, and he said, therefore said I to you, to y'all, that no man can come to I except it was given to him of Abi, of my father. Verse 66 is the verse right here. John chapter 6, verse 66. I find it to be so ironic, though it might just be the numbering, right? But John chapter 6, verse 66 says, from that time many, enough of his disciples went back and walked and trod no more with him. John chapter 6, verse 66. This is interesting right here, because they're saying that this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can obey it? See, they were saying in the secondary sense of the Hebrew Shema, right? Tishmoa. Not just who can literally hear it, but hear and obey it. Who can hear and obey it, right? And he started to murmur, right? So Yeshua knew when he knew that, oh, okay, you know, let me try to give them this, you know, clarify this, that it's the spirit that giveth life and the flesh don't profit anything. The words that I'm speaking to you, they are spirit, right? And they are life, right? So here in verse 66, it says from that time, right, after he said again, he reemphasized what he said earlier, he said, no man can come to me. Now, if you think about that in Christian and Christological terms, it's an amazing thing. You know, people trying to force people to be Christian and force people to be Christian and force people to be. He says, therefore said I to you that no man can come to me except it was given of my father. So if you're trying to force somebody to kind of come to Christ, to Yeshua, and the father and Yeshua father, I and I father, did not give it to them. Oh, wow. But he says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I guess it was like that conscience thing, right? So Peter here, we have a confession, a couple more verses I'm going to write with the prophet's reading right here. Peter's confession of faith, of emuna, of imnet, of the hymenote, the living faith, the living credit, the living admittance, right? Admitting as true, right? Verse 67, then said Yeshua to the 12, will y'all also go away? Wow. I mean, think about the scene here. There were disciples that were there with him, with the other disciples, the 12, because it was more than 12, but the main core was the 12. There was the disciples there. After he spoke this word right there, right? And he's obviously speaking in the parabolological language. He's speaking like a parable allegorically, right? Now, they heard and say, oh, man, this sounds like cannibalism. Who can literally do this? Then he breaks it down and said, listen, it's the spirit I'm speaking about. I'm not talking literally about the flesh, but it's the word, spirit, life, you know? And boom, now he asked the rest who are with him, the 12, right? So not talking about the 12 disciples, but there were other disciples added on to the 12. And he asked them, will y'all also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Adoni, Lord, to whom shall we go? Who are we going to go to? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You have the word, sound, and power, the words of eternal life. And we believe. Naamen. Amen. Naamen. Naamen. Naamen in the guttas and getting to like the Hebrew, the Afro-Semitic root. And we, nah, we, amen. We, amen. We admit as truth. Naamen. We admit as truth, we credit and are sure that thou art that Moshiach. You are that anointed, the Ben Elohim Chaim, the Ben, the son of the Elohim Chaim, the living power. And Yeshua answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a Diablos, and one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Shimon, of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Right here, kind of an interesting rhema right here. Here, Jesse Royal, you know, on the outro right here, and going to ride up with the prophet's reading right here, after this.
Now in comes the musical team from the King's offspring, Jesse Royal. Chop.
Some people you're right, and them still choose to show you hate. Chop. Run them out of your yard. From them a play bad young, I them a bad biters. Hypocritical suicide lads, we call them modern day Judas. Spreaders of rumors, oh them a bad biters. Hypocritical suicide lads, we call them modern day Judas. Spreaders of rumors. Hey, so why should I be afraid of you when you bleed just like I do? The more you try fight, judge a light keeps shining too. So I've got no time for you, cause in my view you wanna step in on my shoe. You wish you never leave a loo and feel so damn confused. Oh, every day you wake you ache because you know you're fake, and every step you take I bring you closer to your grave. But I am like a column when I easily shake. Me certain say I feel me none of who no can take. We guided by the monster, defender of the faith. Yes, ordained to be great. Oh, them a bad biters. Hypocritical suicide lads, we call them modern day Judas. Spreaders of rumors. Oh, them a bad biters. Hypocritical suicide lads, we call them modern day Judas. Spreaders of rumors. But your teeth and tongue gonna let you down. Reward for your words shall be profound. Oh, screw all you want, but a loo and drown. Me slew you like Goliath with a stone from a crown. Not even the dog that be set on the wall of Babylon shall escape in these times. So word to the wise, choose the right side, and don't you be hindered by your foolish pride. I said no weapon formed against I and I shall prosper, prosper. So tell me the force rife and maga dog disrespect and face disaster. Cause them a bad biters, hypocritical suicide lads. We call them modern day Judas. Spreaders of rumors. Oh, them a bad biters, hypocritical suicide lads. We call them modern day Judas. Spreaders of rumors. But I man deny concoction to prove. You can't give me slip when me never see a slew. You can't give me stew, not even cash news. And some a say me parrot, some a say I never abuse. But I can't forget what I done to the Jews, and what his friends did to the tough gang too. All in the name of suppressing the truth. But I absolute me, them can't pollute. Cause them a backbiters, hypocritical to side. We call them modern day Judas. Spreaders of rumors. Oh, them a backbiters. Hypocritical to side last. We call them modern day Judas. Spreaders of rumors. Oh, them a backbiters. Hypocritical to side last. We call them modern day Judas.
I and I can trust no politician. They all lack vision. We the children of today are on a mission to fulfill the promise of tomorrow. Rastafari lead the way, care not what anyone say. Love,
no, I
love,
say
love.
Yes,
and when they would come
yes.
in, they went up into an upper room. They went up into an upper room.
Chag Shavuot Sameach. Happy harvest feast of weeks right here. 7-7-7-2-7th clash here, the 50th day. Rastafari Pentecost Day. Right here. Acts chapter 1 right here, right, as we going to move forward to chapter 2, the Pentecost right here.
Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren.
Yes, yes, yes. You see, there's a Judas, the brother of James. I noticed in the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church and a few others as well, when they refer to like Judas Iscariot, they usually refer to him as Iscariot. It's Iscariot. It actually means man of the cities. Judah, man of the cities. It's Iscariot. But that was from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, which leads us right here, even with that Jesse Royal, the Judas, you know, the Judas tune right there, We have the choice of Matthias. Remember the 11, right? The number was kind of, you know, thrown off, connected with what we just read in John chapter 6, you know, fulfilling that chapter right there. So here connecting for Pentecost Day right here. We're in chapter 1. Let's just carry this to the end of the chapter. So that brings us to chapter 2, the Pentecost Day, Peter's first use of the keys and the gospel, the good news that's given to the Yehudim, to the Jews, the Judahites, even to I and I, the line of the tribe of Judah, the Yehudim. Here, Acts of the Apostles chapter 1. The choice of Matthias. And in those days, Peter, he stood up in the midst of the Talmudim, the disciples, and said, the number of names, the Shemot, oh, wow, number of what names? In what book? The number of names? Numbers. Together were about 120. Take note, 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must need to have been fulfilled, that the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, who was guide to them that took Yeshua. For he was numbered with us, with I and I, and had obtained part of this ministry, of this service. Now, this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known to all the dwellers in Jerusalem, inasmuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, the Mizmor, the Sefer Tehillim, let his habitation be desolate. Let make no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take. His shepherd's rod let another take. Wherefore of these men that have accompanied, with I and I all the time that Ha'adon Yeshua, the Lord, the sovereign Yeshua, went in and out among us, among I and I, beginning from the baptism of Yohanan, John, to the same day that he was taken up from us, from I and I, must one be ordained to be a witness with I and I of his resurrection of Tinsayel. Tensai, the resurrection, Tachia, his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Adon, who knowest the hearts of all men, show whither of these two, thou, the eye has chosen, that he may take part of this ministry, of this service and apostleship from that Judas, by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So that right there, bringing it from this audible here again.
Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren.
So bringing us right here, Pentecost, their first day, chapter 2 of Acts of the Apostles. And when the day of Pentecost day of Pentecost, the 50th day, speaking about Shavuot, the harvest, even right here, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from Shemaim as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house wherein they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKadosh, with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as HaRuach, as the Spirit, the Irid, gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Yehudim, Jews, Judahites, Judeans, devout men, out of every nation under Shemaim, every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans?" You know, the Galileans had a particular dialect, you know. Verse 8, "And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and in Cappadocia, in Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and Mitzrayim, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Yehudim, Jews, and proselytes, Cretes, and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of Elohim." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others, you know, there had to be others, right? Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." Right? These men are full of new wine. Don't pick up on this right here, Petros' sermon. Peter's sermon, the theme is that Yeshua is Adon and Moshiach, that Yeshua, that Jesus is Lord and Christ, Yeshua is Adon, is sovereign, is boss, as well as Moshiach, anointed. Now, let's just recall and segue right here, for this Shabbat Naso, and here on the first day, the Pentecost day, first day, the theme here, Chaburim, right, concerning Moshiach, Messiah, I, Redeemer, Messiah, the Avenger, Messiah, I, Redeemer. So here, just a little likeness of, you know, the closest likeness we can think of right here of that mighty rushing wind, You know, the shofar, the ram's horn. Yes, I, Rastafari. Here, here, here. Joyful shout.
Yeah! 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 Yeah!
Seven, Chag, Shabuot Sameach, happy, happy, joyful, joyful feast, harvest feast.
Well, let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God.
Jump, Rastafari, jump, Rastafari, jump, Rastafari.
So here, 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 let's write up the prophet's reading here, we have Judges. Chapter 13, focus verses, verses 2 to 25, and the Brit Hadasha, New Covenant reading right here. Here we have Acts of the Apostles, chapter 21, focus verses 17 to 26, coming forward, forward, forward right now, now, now.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Hadasha, Aliyot, 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 Aliyot.
First things first, right here. Also, stay tuned for Ruth. I'm going to go through Ruth. Ruth is a book that's appointed for the harvest time, and there's a lot of harvest keys in the book of Ruth, or Cherut in the book of Ruth. Here, here's a baraka for the reading of the Haftarah.
Barukata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher b'char b'nebiim tobim, v'ratzach b'debreihim, ha'ne'amarim b'emet. Baruch atah Adonai, ha'bocher b'torach, u'moshe abdo, u'b'Israel ammo, u'b'nebiei ha'emet v'atzelik. Blessed art the I, Adonai, Eloheinu, eternal King, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed art the I, Adonai, who chooses the Torah and Moses, his servant, and Israel, his people, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Book of Judges, chapter 13, verse 2 to chapter 25. Besama'ab wubalet mefesu kadus hadumak. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of Yahweh, Buruku, appeared to the woman and said to her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to Elohim, Baruch Hu, from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of Elohim came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of Elohim, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said to me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to Elohim, from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated Yahweh Uruku and said, O my master, Let the man of Elohim, which thou didst send, come again to us, and teach us what we shall do to the child that shall be born. And Elohim hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of Elohim came again to the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said to him, Behold, the man have appeared to me that came to me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said to him, Art thou the man that speaketh to the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do to him? And the angel of Yahweh Buduku said to Manoah, Of all that I said to the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said to the angel of Yahweh, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of Yahweh said to Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it to Yahweh, Buduku, for Manoah knew not that he was an angel of Yahweh. And Manoah said to the angel of Yahweh, Buduku, What is thy name, that when thy things come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of Yahweh said to him, Why antest thou thus after my name, seeing it is a secret? So Manoah took a kid with the meat offering and offered it upon a rock to Yahweh, Buduku. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of Yahweh ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of Yahweh did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of Yahweh, Buduku. And Manoah said to his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen Elohim. But his wife said to him, If Yahweh were pleased to kill us, he would not have received the burnt offering and meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and Yahweh Buduku blessed him. And the spirit of Yahweh Buduku began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Amen. Glory to him, word, sound, and power. Kedamari Hadisalati Nagus Negesa Ethiopia, the King of Kings.
Them no like how me telling it. Me nah fuck around at all, me celibate.
Right.
I ascend through the chakra was why you hella bent. Ooh. I'm in the highest state of the mind that I've ever been. Hook up with the veteran. Everybody looking for the kingdom, they don't search for it. Ketamari Haile Selassie, he is the arc of it. Took me 40 years in a foreign land to understand the manuscript. Hit me like a ton of bricks, many diamonds in the rough. I guess I'm just the one he picks. I recognize the counterfeit. Nobody is teaching it, nobody is preaching it. These churches worship all, I'ma keep it raw. The righteous will ascend while we watch the wicked fall. I'm resting on the Sabbath while you shopping at the mall. Then you want y'all to answer when you put in a call.
Yes, yes, yes. Give thanks, give thanks. Ahad right there with the Haftarah read from Judges chapter 13 concerning the birth of Samson. Nazarite, the Nazarite Samson, the Nazarite from birth. Got us some reasonments on Nazarite and Nazarene. But here, Chaburim, here we have the Brit Chadasha, the New Covenant reading right here. Here. And here's the Baraka, the blessing before the reading of the New Covenant. Yes, I.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam. Asher natan lanu Moshiach Yeshua. Wehabarot shel habarik ha hadasha. Baruch atah Adonai, notain habarik ha hadasha. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
The Brit Chadasha, Chadish Kidan, Renewed Covenant Reading for RSS number 35. Naso, lift up. From Acts of the Apostles, chapter 21, verse 17 through 26. We begin, B'Shem Ha'ab, Ve'Habin, Ve'Ruach HaKadosh, Yahweh Ahad. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He who be, who He be, the One. Acts, chapter 21. Verse 17, Yod Zayin. Verse 18, Yod Chet. Verse 19, Yod Tet. Verse 20, Kaf. Vayehi kibo'enu Yerushalayim, vayekablu otanu ha'achim b'simcha. Umimacharat hayom niknas polos imanu el Yaakov, vayabau shamma kol hazikinim, vayishal lahem l'shalom, vayisaper achat le'achat et asher asa Ha Elohim, La Goim Besheruto, Vayishmao, Vayihalilu, Et Ha Elohim, Vayomru Elayo, Hinka Roe, Achinu Kama Reboa, Yehudim, Bau Leha Amin, Wekulam Mekanim La Torah. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. Paul takes a Yehudi vow involving a Yehudi sacrifice, a Jewish sacrifice. And the day following, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things Ha Elohim had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified Ha Adon, they glorified the Lord, and said to him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Yehudi, of Jews, there are that be live, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews, all the Yehudi, that are among the Gentiles, to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the custom. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that we say to thee, we have four men that have a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them, and be in charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly, and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles that be live, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Paul seized in the temple by the Yehudim. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Yehudim, the Jews that were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him.
Kabur Lakalu, Kabur Lagimtu, Kabur Lakhailu, Kabur Lakedamawi, Haile Selassie, Be Jesus Christos Sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu, Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I. Rastafari.
Amen. We have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, to Mesken, Xiavi, Mesken. Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos,
Jesus
Christos,
Jesus
Christos,
yes, 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 Hag, Shavuot, Sameach, Harvest, Harvest, Pentecost Day. We also have Ruth right here. I'd like to give a little overview for Ruth right here and also touch on some reasonings here for this 35th sabbatical study and also more of a build on Pentecost Day, Pentecost, Harvest. So here we're going to the scroll. Let's get this right here. Here we're going to the scrolls. In fact, if we turn the scripts, right, and we go search the scripture, let's go right here and search the scripture. What he says, he said, bring the, how did Paul call them? He said the parchment. Yeah, he said the parchment. I think that's the KJV has parchment. So see, we find that verse right here. The parchment, okay, yeah. 2 Timothy 4 and 13. 2 Timoteos, Timothy chapter 4 and 13. It reads, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. Oh, chan. No, I was going through the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary looking up harvest, you know, and which words, key Hebrew words, you know, in the translation, you know, that was connected, it pointed to Carpus, Carpus, C-A-R-P-A-S. And Carpus actually means fruit. The name Carpus, right, it means fruit in the Koine, you know, the Koine Greek, Carpus right here. So we're going to have to bring that one forward. Once again, 2 Timothy 4 and 13, it reads, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments, but especially the parchments. So what do we have right here, 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 right? Paul here giving some instruction right here. Let's see, which one? Okay, we're going to have to go to the hard copy one right here, the New Covenant, to bring out the Hebrew here. So here we're in Second Timothy. So Timothy was a disciple, right? A disciple of Paul. Paul giving him instructions. You know, he had a Yehudi mother. His mother was a Judahite. His father was a Gentile, but there was prophecies upon him. And here he comes into the number. And Paul is giving this word right here. Here we bring it out here, verse 13. Let's see, he says, et ha mit pachat, et ha mit pachat, she hi anachti, bi te roas, et el carpos, carpus, ha bi ehu itika, ha bi ehu, you know, bring itika, bring with you, bi boeka, you know, to bring with you when you come, bi boeka, when you come, bi boeka, we af, et ha sifarin, the sifarin, some might say cipher, we either say sefer, sifarin, the books, right, the books, right, the writings, the books. Right, but especially right here, he says, ua bifrat, right, especially etaha megilot. So it's a megilot, right, the megilot shel kalaf. So the megilot. So there's such a thing called a megilot. Megilot is plural of Megillah. Megillah is a scroll. Come from Galal. Galal means to roll up. Like Gilal, Galal, to roll up. like something to roll, a rolled something. So here speaking about the parchment scrolls. So we have, right, Judaically, we have right here, we have the five Megillot, what's known as the five Megillot, the five scrolls. What are these five particular scrolls right here, here, here? The Chamesh Megillot, we have the five scrolls, Song of Songs, Ruth, Lamentation, Ecclesiastes, and Esther. Once again, we have Song of Songs, we have Ruth, we have Lamentation, we have Ecclesiastes, and Esther. And now these are also read and meditated on during the high holy days. Song of Songs is read and meditated on for Pesach, for the Passover season. Here, Ruth, for the Shavuot, the harvest, Pentecost, the harvest season. Lamentation, Eich is like saying, whoa, Eich. That's what lamentation, like a wailing, a sound, Eich. Lamentation for the Tisha B'Av, Ecclesiastes for the Yom HaKippurim, and Esther, Hester, Astia, our Hebrew Ishtar, right, for Purim, right, for Purim. So right here, let's just give an intro right here, looking at the time right here, an intro. We'd like to go through a kind of a listening, right, hopefully if ones and ones have, you know, the scripts available, maybe even reading along the basic KJV version, just to get an overview here. But let's go through a kind of an overview right here. Right, the overview right here. So here from the Megillah that we have in hand. So that was interesting when we saw 2 Timothy 4 and 13, you know, when Paul wrote a message saying, like, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when you come, bring, and the books, but especially, right, particularly, especially the parchments. So these parchments, right, the parchments here, you know, are the five scrolls, particularly the five scrolls, because they're very instrumental during the high holy seasons, right? In the high holy season, as we mentioned, Song of Songs for Pesach, Passover, and here for harvest, we have Cherut, we have Ruth, right? Cherut, Ruth, and Esther. But here, introduction right here, like the book of Esther, the little volume that is before us here, it derives its title from the name of the Hebrew heroine, right? Heroine, the Hebrew heroine, you know, the female hero, so to speak, the Hebrew heroine, whose charming personality pervades its pages. The narrative, speaking of Cherut, Ruth, the narrative of the drama that unfolds before our eyes and ears was at one time preserved upon parchments. Parchments, you know, what are parchments? Well, parchments, you know, most ancient ones were dressed skins. In some skins, you know, with the membrane, like from the animal skins, usually sheep skins, you know, that were cleaned and prepared and written on and then rolled up and unrolled for reading. So here, the narrative of the drama that unfolds before our eyes and our ears was at one time preserved upon parchment, Megillah, in the form of a scroll, a Megillah, even as was and still is the rule in the case of its companion above mentioned. For this reason, it is known in Hebrew and to us as the Megillat Ruth. The Megillat Ruth, Megillat Cherut, Megillat Ruth, the scroll of Ruth, of Cherut, and is one of the five Megillot, the Megillot of the scrolls that have won for themselves a place in the sacred scripture. So here in the position in the Hebrew Kanona, the Hebrew Kanona in the Hebrew canon, in other words, how we measure what books are holy. In the Hebrew Bible, this book finds an honored place in the what's known as the Ketubim. So those who are on the Tanakh vibe, you know, the Tanakh is the Torah, And then we have the T for Torah, the N for the Nabim, the prophets, and the K for the Ketubim. The Ketubim are the writings, the Hagiograph, the Hagiographia, the third main division of the holy writings. So the holy writings, Hebraically, the first is the Torah, the second is the Nabim. Modern Hebrew, they'll say Nevim. Thirdly is the Ketubim, the Ketubim. So here we have the third of the three major divisions of the Hebrew holy writings. It appears fifth, though according to the ancient Timharit and the Talmud, the teaching, it must at one time have been first in that division. Now, in the Greek translation of the Bible, called the Septuagint or the LXX, Roman number LXX for 70, Septuagint, the Greek for 70, and in the Authorized Version, the AV in the English, which follows it, Ruth is treated as an integral part of Judges. Ruth is treated as an integral part of Judges and is placed immediately after it. This, however, need not be taken as evidence of an ancient tradition as to the homogeneity of the two books, like the oneness of the two books. More probably, it is due to the simple transfer from its proper position, governed by the fact that the story of Ruth was laid in the time of Judges. So the story of Ruth that we get right here, it connects with the time and what we know as Shoftim, the Shoftim or the Judges. Let me see if this bears witness right here. Because in the Ethiopic, we have what is known as the Octatec, right? The Octatec. Now, what is the Octatec? Some say the Pentateuch. Right, Ethiopically, the Israelites of Ethiopia, we refer to as the Octatec. Penta is five, right? At the Pentecost, say 50, 5, 50, you know? And octa has to do with eight. So instead of just up to Deuteronomy, in the ancient Israelites of Ethiopia, in there, we could say the corresponding Pentateuch, instead of five books, it's actually eight books. So it includes, right, the next book after Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. So Joshua, Judges, and Ruth in the ancient Ethiopic, you say Torah. So the Torah includes the five volumes plus those three books, Yehoshua, Shoftim, and Harut, or Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, just to point that out right there. So Ruth, it occurs in the same time. Right, even the Hebrew is very similar, you know, though Hebrew may seem similar to someone's, when you read it, you can see, you know, there's different, it's like English, looking at the old English, you can tell that was old English, and then like the modern translation is a little different. You can see that as you study the Hebrew. But here, the position of Ruth in the liturgy, like such on the position of Ruth in the liturgy right here, in the Kiddush, in the sacred service. The book of Ruth is prescribed for reading as part of the liturgy, right, the holy service on Pentecost, the 50th day, Shavuot, on the Feast of Week, the seven Shabbats, and the morrow after the seventh Shabbat, the festival commemorating. What is Shavuot? It's a festival commemorating the revelation on Har Sinai, on Mount Sinai. The connection between the book and the festival is twofold. One, the festival is, as its name, Chag HaBikurim, indicates, primarily a harvest festival and the harvest figures prominently in the narrative. So one, the book. The connection between the book, Ruth, and the festival, Harvest, Shavuot, Pentecost, is twofold. The festival is, as its name, Chag, the feast, HaBikurim, right, the first fruits, we can say, indicates primarily a harvest festival and harvest figures prominently in the narrative. B, the revelation marked, as it were, the formal acceptance This revelation at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai, it marked, right? It marked, as it was, the formal acceptance by Yisrael, particularly by the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the Israelites, of that hymenal, that living faith, and that Torah of life, of liberty, that were later to prove so irresistibly attractive to the heathen damsel from Moab. It's kind of interesting. It almost seems like sometimes other nations find it more so than we do. It's given to us, but you know, like, but we have Ruth, who was a heathen in the sense that she was not an Israelite, right? Damsel from Moab. Now, the privation and suffering that she faced on the thorny path of righteousness has led the Midrash, the studies, to elaborate on the theme. The bearing of the story on the festival, it declares, is the moral, the Hebrew moral one that teaches that HaTorah can only be acquired by those who trod the road of hardship and want, the road of hardship and lack. HaTorah personified is made to plead with HaElohim, with HaElohim, in these terms. How does the Torah here personified in the teaching is made to plead with HaKadosh, the Holy One, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, in these terms? Put my lot among the poor, among the poor. For if the rich apply themselves to a mastery of me, they will become arrogant. For if the rich apply themselves to a mastery of HaTorah, they will become arrogant. Very interesting right here. Yes, sir.
Live by the Torah and the wicked as a crumble. Baby Bible. Shout up two songs and the wicked them trimble. Live by the Baby Bible. Shout up two songs and the wicked them trimble. Live by the Torah and the wicked as a crumble.
So right here, we could bring this out a little bit more, but let's actually just seal up there. There's a little bit more on this as we can get into a study of this right here. But suffice it for now right here. The book has been fitly described, one of the greatest Gentile poets, as the loveliest little epic and idyllic whole which has come down to us. Mothers have described this book as being a high literature, this Hebrew high literature. It has been likened by students of contemporary literature to a beautiful valley full of flowers, fertile field, and gentle brooks. And it rightly deserves to be called a wonderful story of love and holy character. It is the most enchanting short narrative in the sacred literature, a sweet pastoral idyll. No literature in the world can show a lovelier picture of womanhood. In style, it is matchless, fresh, simple, and graceful. The spell of the book, is said, is altogether irresistible, for it lay in the heroine whose name it bears, and the chief charm of Ruth, of Herut herself, is her unselfish, devoted love of all that is finest in the physical, the physical, and the spiritual world. Wow, we've been speaking about this, the two truths, the physical, the metaphysical, the spiritual world. The social background here, it is not a history of public events, the Book of Ruth, that is presented in the pages of this immortal work, but a picture of humble village life, back to reality, back to the country, humble village life, painted on a quiet background away from the turmoil and strife that fill the pages of the contemporary Book of Judges, Shoftim. The existence of such blissful conditions in that era, in that time, would be unknown to us, but for the evidence in this biblical narrative. Were it not for the testimony of the Book of Ruth, who would dream that so beautiful, itiful a society as that depicted in its chapters could flourish in those lawless times? Life in the towns, and townships was insecure. Justice administered by corrupt rulers. It was, in the words of HaRebanim, the rabbis, the scholars of Torah, a generation that judged its judges. Get that. A generation that judged its judges. A generation that judged its judges. Describing the rampant lawlessness, Torahlessness. The Midrash, the study, it tells of men who, having been tried and convicted of crime, would turn and assault their judges. Sound like days like these. That men, right, who, having been tried and convicted of crime, would turn around and assault their judges. But it was a generation that had the judges it deserved. It was a generation that had the judges it deserved. Maamar V'tum, the tomb by Rosh Shiloh, this generation. Right? See who their judges were. Ironically, observes a commentator, Gideon, the son of Joash, who made an effort for an idol, and yet he judged Israel. What? See who their judges were? Gideon, the son of Joash, who made an effort. The effort is part of the priestly garment. He made the effort of the priest for an idol. And yet and still he judged Israel. He judged Israel. Samson, who was a slave. He was in bondage of his passions. He's on the Delilah, right? And yet and still he judged Israel. What a relief to turn from judges after we pass through judges, and then we come to Ruth, to the placid scene of goodness in the small town of Bethlehem, and how happy we are to feel that the simplest country life, country man, great movie if you haven't seen it, just to point that out, speaking about the country life, got to check out The Country Man. Right, The Country Man. I don't know if some of you know the movie. You can look it up. It probably is on the tube, on the YouTube. Country Man. Hold on. We got like 6 minutes, y'all, for once calling in. Also on the Rastafari Israelites. Just a little more right here. Right? And how happy we are to feel the simplest country life, right? Feel that the simplest country life can and did exist. Side by side with the general state of social restlessness and continuous warfare. It's like right now. You know what I mean? Right now. It's like how it is right now. There is still those pockets of such country life. Who's of my tribe want to get to that country life like in Ruth right here? We thank a kindly providence, Jehovah Jireh, Yahuwah Yireh, Jehovah Iri, right? For so ordaining that no times shall be so wild, but that in them one might find quiet corners and green oases, all the greener for their sober surroundings, where life and liberty might glide on in peaceful isolation from turmoil and strife. Come out of her, my people. At some such quiet period in the story and the history of judges of Shoftim, it may be assumed the incidents recounted in the book of Ruth took place. Israel was perhaps enjoying a momentary respite from insecurity and unrest. Their lives, their liberty could apparently be lived in comparative safety and shalom without let or hindrance. And men and women would love and work and weep and laugh and enjoy their tranquil days about the townlet of Bethlehem. Bethlehem. We see these folks with their time-honored customs and family events. The toiling flock master, the flock master, the busy reaper, the womb man with their cares and uncertainties, the love and labor of simple life and liberty, the sympathetic crowds that gather to share the sorrow of the bereaved or the joy of the newlywed, the pomp and ceremony attending the various religious and spiritual and social occasions. A religious and heretical influence was evidently emanating from some central place of worship and spreading far and wide. This was where real world history was being made. Remember Ruth, who Ruth is, whose great-grandmama she be, right, was being made even here. Not in some arena of battle, but in the peaceful homes of simple country folk. Via nature, the nature's built Yisrael's character and fashion his heroes and the heroines. The unimportant people who lived and died unnamed and unseeing in their homes were shaped the course of history, and there an outstanding event took place. Historicity? Unbiased scholars are almost unanimously agreed upon the historical accuracy of the facts presented in the book. The Book of Ruth. Who can doubt them? Or Lama, why should they have been invented? There would surely be little point in inventing a foreign ancestry for the greatest and most dearly loved king of Israel, even as little as in inventing for the origin of the nation itself, the bondage in Egypt, in the Hekapita, Egypta, in Mitzrayim, or Kemet. What? When? Then? Did the events of the book happen? So we have the date of Boaz, and we're going to ride up from here, looking at the time right here, calling. Let's just do this right here, brothers and sisters, and we're going to ride up just to give a context to what we're hearing, right? Because as we do, 90 seconds, y'all, got 90 seconds mark right here, here. Yes, I. Rastafari. Yes, sir. So here. So the date of Boaz. The chronological details given in the first sentence of the book, it tells us vaguely that the incident to be related occurred in the days when the Shoftim judged, right? When the Shoftim, 60 seconds, y'all. Four generations span the period. So Judges spans four generations, which may be assumed to cover at least between 200 to 300 years. This period is somewhat more closely defined in the genealogical table at the end of the book, which takes us back to the third generation before David, before Dawid. We may infer, therefore, that Boaz, Kerut, Ruth, and their contemporaries live between 80 and 100 years before the birth of David. Older scholars consider it probable that the events were contemporaneous with the times of Gideon or Jephthah. Some of the rabbinic traditions variously assign them to the times of Barak, Ehud, and Ibzan, the later being identified with Boaz. So Boaz has another identification, Ibzan. Right, Boaz. No one, however, maintains that the book was written in any of those days. So here, date of the composition, we have, there's no unanimity among scholars, either ancient or modern, as to the date when the book was written. Some of the Judaic tried and tradition, it credits the authorship to Samuel. Whose literary works also include the books bearing his own name, as well as the Book of Judges. Martin scholarship tends to assign the authorship variously to the time of David, the period of the monarchy, and a post-exilic date before a contemporaneous with the reformation of Ezra and Nehemiah. That's speaking about like the, after the Babylonian captivity. Those who advance the last mentioned theory argue that the book was a favorite with such as did not share the zeal of Ezra and Nehemiah against mixed marriages. Oh, because there's a question that, well, doesn't say that a Moabite cannot enter into the congregation of the Lord? That's what it says, right? The KJV. But if you read the Hebrew, a direct reading of it would be that no Moabite man can enter. It doesn't speak of the woman, since much of the Torah also is firstly for mostly to the man, to whom more is given, more is required. So right there, amid these conflicting theories, we may well stand bewildered before the question. If this question is that important, well, when was the book written? The pious Yehudi reader will accept without question the tribe that's recorded in the teaching. The inquiring minds will examine and weigh the evidence and form their own conclusions or their own inconclusions. This needs not concern I and I here, right now, right here. The problem of authorship is secondary to an appreciation, to appreciate love, the book's content and message. Make I and I then consider what the author here has to tell I and I. So here, brothers and sisters and brothers right here, let's ride up right here with Charut, with Ruth here for this Pentecost Day, first day right here. Here we'll be listening to Scorby, Alexander Scorby, Ruth. For Shabuot, Chag Shabuot.
The Holy Bible, the King James Version. Read by Alexander Scorby. The Book of Ruth, Chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters, why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee in me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went, and came, and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered, and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Chapter 3. Then Naomi her mother-in-law said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now, is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in, and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly, and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedst not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Chapter 4 Then went Boaz up to the gate, and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, And Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. The end of the Book of Ruth.
What is true?
And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore, evermore, evermore, evermore.
Yes, 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 the Book of Ruth, right here, here, for Shavuot, for harvest, in the upper room of Zion for Pentecost Day. It's a lovely story and narrative to be read in connection with the first half of Judges, as it presents a picture of life and liberty in Israel at that time. Typically, the book may be taken as a foreview, some say, of the church, of the called out assembly, looking at Ruth as that called out assembly, right? As the Gentile bride, the bride from the nations of Moshiach, the Bethlehemite, who is able to redeem. Ruth, Herut also gives a, here in the Scofield Study Bible says, it gives a normal Christian experience. What's this normal experience of a Nazarene? One, Ruth is deciding, right, in chapter one. In chapter two, Ruth, Herut is serving. In chapter three, Ruth, Herut is resting. In chapter four, Ruth, Herut is rewarded. This verse here just sticks out right here, And the woman said to Naomi, blessed be Jehovah, who hath not left the eye this day without a kinsman. Remember, we have the theme in the prophets, the kinsman redeemer, right? That his name, Shemo, may be famous in Israel.
Padamawi, Padamawi. Yuslasya.
The whole praise is due
for help. Yes, aye, kings and redeemer. Here. This is for Ruth and all the Ruths. Oh, just a little trivia, so to speak. Did you know that Oprah, you know the one Oprah Winfrey? When you look in Ruth chapter 1, verse 4, where it says, and they took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years in verse 4 of chapter 1 of Ruth. Now, when you look at the name Orpah, and actually she testified, Oprah testified that I think her mother or grandmother, I forget who had raised her, right, country lady, but she was going to name her Orpah right here from the book. In other words, Ruth really... I mean, Oprah really is named from the book of Ruth here, the Oprah in verse 4. So when you see O-R-P-A-H, she said this in we saw this some years ago. I found it to be really interesting that she even revealed that actually she's supposed to be named Oprah, Oprah, right? But the mother, I think what happened either when they wrote it on the, either, you know, when they registered the birth or whatever, somebody must have switched around the R and the P. So when you reverse the R and P in Oprah, you get Oprah. It's just a little very interesting thing. She was one of the daughters-in-law of Naomi when Naomi said, hey, go back. And, you know, she decided to go back to her gods and everything, but not Ruth. So this is for all the Ruths right here, here, here. Yes, I, all the Ruths, right? And Yisrael and Rastafari, all the Ruths right here, here, here. Yes, I. And Boaz.
Shuba shuba, shuba shuba day, shuba shuba, shuba 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 day, shuba shuba, shuba shuba day, yeah 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 yeah. Now, no real man can live without no woman. That night to this, as a woman to her man. She's essential to his purpose and his mission. A good woman is a glory to her man. She'll never take the power, she'll just make him a better man. Every great man has a virtuous woman. Woman, you say you love me. You never leave me lonely, yeah. You always be there for me. So I need not to worry, yeah. Woman, to keep my strong. With this part of your plan, I'll leave my mom and dad, find a woman and be one. With a woman I make my bond, perfect combination. I am a black man, so I love me black woman. Woman, I give me this sweet, sweet love. Oh, any time of day, yeah, lots of kisses and hugs. Oh, I and I burn on dull, yeah, yeah, yeah. No real man can live without a woman. That night to day, as a woman to her man. She's essential to his purpose and his mission. A good woman is a glory to her man. She'll never take the power, she'll just make him a better man. Every great man has a virtuous woman. Woman I love and honor. The party of the life career, the Empress Omega. The mother of the far-right culture revises King and his empress Menin, who showed us the right and the true way of living. Woman could never pass in, so listen as I sing. But women on the earth, my joy bell ring, ring, ring. Equality in Zion, my nation's law, that's the way it should go. For every man I know there is a woman. You meet the valley, oh, that's all I know, oh, oh yeah. Shuba shuba, shuba shuba day, shuba shuba, shuba 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 day, shuba shuba, shuba shuba day, shuba shuba day, shuba 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 day.
Well, I say the family unit is fundamental and important, you know. A real man can't live without someone, you know. A person's gonna rise, someone to prove for the mother she wants, you know. There you go, so much though, you know. Now, 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 now.
A real man can live without a woman. Like night to day, as a woman to her man. She's essential to his purpose and his mission. A good woman is a glory to her man. Woman, you say you love me. You never leave me alone. Part of your plan, I leave my mom and dad, find a woman and be one. With a woman I make my bond, perfect combination. I am a black man, so I love me black woman. Woman I give me this sweet, sweet love. Oh, any time of day, yeah, lots of kisses and hugs. Rasta man I born a doll, yeah, yeah, yeah. No real man can live without a woman.
Yes, yes, warrior, warrior king right there with virtuous woman. What a very good example right here, here, here from the scripts, the book of Ruth here, here for this Rastafari Pentecostal, Pentecost, the feast of the Holy Spirit in the upper room, the higher, higher, higher heights. Yes, I. Interesting, here looking at the book of Ruth, you can see the last part of Judges. I got a highlight in verse 25, Judges 21:25, and the Rhema word, the small still voice, spoke and said, you know, Rastafari, I and I, we're in this time of judges, I and I sell, the Rastafari movement's in the time of judges. Point, Judges 21, verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. There was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. To point out the comparison, you know, of Ruth, the country life versus the city life, that peaceful life, that harmonious life. Yes, I, Rastafari, liberty. Let's just touch on this right here. You know, we still have, you know, there's some points in this Torah reading and feeding. Hopefully, Jah willing, in the Shabua on the podcast, you can pick up on it. So if there's some questions or some areas, ones and ones in the live stream, you know, can, you know, maybe hit up a question, or if ones and ones are on the WhatsApp, the group can also hit up a question right there. We hope to, like, catch up on that. But here, just going with the vibe here on this first day, right? Harvest right here, here, here in the season. Looking at the fruits of the Spirit, right? What are the fruits of the Spirit? Right? Here, 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 I'd like to share this right here. Just a contrast here on the book of Ruth. Let's look at Orpah for a moment. You know, when I share that little bit of trivia, so to speak, right? But it's a lot and a little. That her mother, oh, she's obviously named Orpah. Interesting. Orpah. Let's look at Orpah, because Orpah, notice something right here. Orpah, where it says right here, where Orpah was the part where they went back and Orpah, yeah, kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave. And then verse 15 says, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is going back to her people and to her Elohim, to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said in verse 16, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither, for where thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, Ami, and thy God, Elohayik, Elohai, Hailiyai. Yes, I, Rastafari. So let's look at Orpah for a moment to get the real contrast right here. And sons, even though this, we're talking about daughters here, but if you understand the Hebrew science, or the science of the soul, you'll see the application. So here, Orpah. Right, mystically Oprah, but here in the scripts, Orpah. Right, the Hebrew means pulled. Orpah means pulled. Orpah means plucked. Orpah also can be a mane, like a mane of hair. Orpah can be a forelock. Orpah can be the nape of the neck. Orpah, a pole, the pole, like speaking of the hair, in the sense of top, the vertex, a fawn, or youthful freshness is in the name Orpah. Who was Orpah? According to Metaphysical Bible Dictionary here, she was a Moabitish Isha, Moabitish woman, daughter-in-law of Naomi. She stayed in Moab instead of going with Naomi to Beit Lechem Yehuda, to the house of bread Judah, praised, celebrated. House of Judah, praised, celebrated as Ruth, Herut did. We have this in Ruth chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 14. What's the meta? That's the phi cycle. What's the meta phi cycle? That's the outer. What's the inner type of Orpah, right? Mystically, Oprah, right? Metaphysically speaking, a youthfulness, grace, activity. Thus the meaning, youthful, freshness, a fawn. In the natural, the natural soul. A woman always refers to some phase of the soul. According to the Hebrew, we say science, a woman always refers to some phase of the nefesh, ha-nefesh, the psyche, the soul, or of the feminine element in the individual, in the indivisible dual, and zeal. Zeal here brings out the meaning in Orpah, the Hebrew meaning of the nape of the neck, a mane, the pole, but more for the things of self. So there's a zeal in the name Orpah. There's a zeal. There's a zeal bringing out the Hebrew on the metaphysics here. There's a zeal. When we look at the meaning, the nape of neck, a mane, a pole, bringing out the zeal. But it's more for the fangs of South than for the fangs of spirit of Irish. Nape of the neck, the mane, like a mane of hair, the top, a forelock, forelock. Here also bespeak a lifting up in personal dignity and pride. Now here we have a highlight here, a strong highlight. This phase of the soul that Oprah represents is too much in love with the outer man. This phase of the soul that Oprah represents is too much in love with the outer man, not the inner man, the outer man. What is the outer man? The sense man, right? The sensual man, the man of the satan of the sense, the carnal man, to give itself over to the real love for spirit, for the irid and truth that would induce it to leave its native country, Moab, and accompany the higher heights, the higher aspects of the soul, the higher aspects of the psyche in its search, in its quest, in its search for unity, Mawahad, for the true Tawahido, that Hebrew Tawahido with Elohim. Go with Naomi back to her home, Beit Lechem Yehuda. Beit, house, lechem, bread, Yehuda, praise, celebrate it. The house of bread, the praise house of bread. Yes, yes, yes. So that's the Oprah there. Remember, there was two of them. They both seemed like they was going forward. Then Naomi spoke a word. Naomi gave a kind of an out. And Oprah, she took that out. She said, like, yeah, she kissed Naomi. She said, I'm out of here. You know, I'm out of here. It's mystic how Naomi said what she said, because if she didn't, she would have just tagged along, right? But not really belong, you know? You know the way that tag along but not really belong? But because Naomi said, you know, what she said, that gave Oprah an out. So here, let's compare that with Ruth, right? These two sisters, like the two ways. We have two ways of the psyche, two ways of the soul. The soul, the nefesh, is feminine. The Hebrew, the Rosh Hashanah, Afro-Shemitically, is feminine and male as well as female. So here we have Ruth, Charut. What does Ruth mean? Charut means a female friend. Ruth, Charut, Ruth, female friend, sympathetic companion, desirable, delightful, friendship, pleasing and beautiful. Who was Ruth? According to the five cycle, the first type, the natural type, she was a Moabitess, Isha of Moab, who became the wife of Boaz, an Israelitish Ish, man of Beit Lechem Yehuda, of Bethlehem Judah. David was descended from her. Ruth was the daughter-in-law of Naomi, and returned with her from Moab to Beit Lechem Yehuda, Bethlehem Judah, in Ruth 1-4, the four chapters right here. That's the phi cycle. Here's the meta phi cycle. He's speaking Ruth, Cherut, the soul, the love of the soul in its natural state. Ruth represents the love of the soul, the psyche, in its natural state, or the love of the natural soul for Elohim, and for the things of spirit, for the things of Ruach, the Irid. Ruth, Charut, is a type of the beautiful, the Aitiful, type of the pure, and a type of the loving characteristics of the natural man, the natural human being. What are these characteristics? Sympathetic companion, friendship, female friend, delightful, desirable, itiful, beautiful. She was the one and only good that Naomi took with her back on her return trip to Beit Lechem Yehuda, to Bethlehem, Judah. And now Bethlehem, Judah, Yehuda, this represents the divine, the divine substance. Bethlehem, Yehuda, the house of bread, praised, represents the real Yisrael. In Ruth's words, in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, is represented human love, the human love raise, the human love rising, growing, right, rising to the divine, the divine love by its willingness, make our wills obedient, yes, by its willingness to leave the love of the unreal, to follow after the real. So Ruth knew that Naomi, in spite of all that had gone on, she knew that Naomi was real. And she knew that the Elohim of Naomi was real too, right? To go wherever true love leads, to be steadfast, firm in that love. In other words, to love in the highest, in that upper room sort of love, in the highest and the best degree. And to acknowledge, to act on the knowledge and worship always the Elohim of love. Ruth's loyalty to Elohim as well needs to be noted. Ruth's loyalty to HaElohim, HaElohim, the true power, and the spiritual life, the spiritual liberty was rewarded. Just as such loyalty always, always in all ways is. Boaz and Chirut were ancestors of Negus Dawit, of Dawit HaMelech, of King David, and of David's greater son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Here we have the progression, the progress, the tribe, the progression of a thought, right? Even like a seed from the simple loving obedience and devotion, devotion to the mighty ruler of the world, Rabino Shel HaOlamim. Thus, spiritual growth, right? Spiritual thought grows. Thus, the spiritual thought, the spiritual seed, it grows. It grows very quietly. It grows very slowly at first, but gradually increasing until it finally carries all before it. Yes, Rastafari, just to balance this out right here, 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 for zooming in on Ruth here in the season. It's liquid, but it's Talua. We're going to balance off with Boaz. Let's touch on Boaz. Can't leave out Boaz. What about Boaz? All right, Boaz is interesting, the name in Hebrew. Bo means to go, and Oz, or in some pointings, Oz, Boaz. Bo, go, Oz, almost like strength. Going strength, like strength going. Boaz, right? We have Boaz here. Metaphysical. Hebrew, alacrity, quickness, right? Fastness, fleetness. Fleetness, fastness, alacrity in strength, in might, in power. Breaking it down to Hebrew, as we said, bo means to go, and oz, right? Oz, like we have like Uzi. Uzi means my power, but come from the oz, right? Here in the plain, Oz, Boaz, go strength, strength going. Who was he? He was a very wealthy man of Beit Lechem, of the tribe of Yehuda. He married Charut, Ruth, and became the great-grandfather of Dawid. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. But also Boaz, the name, the word sound Boaz, did you know that the left pillar at the porch of the temple, even the temple of Shlomo HaMelech, the left pillar at the porch of the temple of Solomon is known as Boaz. The right pillar as Yakin, and the left pillar is known as Boaz. We know this from 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 21. So Boaz, here we're speaking of the man, Boaz, of the tribe of Judah, of Bethlehem, but the left pillar at the porch. Now note this also, that in the Brit Chadasha, the New Testament, we find Adonai, Yeshua, HaNotri, often, you know, at the temple, and they say in the portico. What they call the portico is like the porch area. But we have the left pillar of the porch of the temple, 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 21, is called the Boaz pillar. Now, that's the phi cycle. Here's the meta, right? Boaz. Boaz is the cheerful willingness, the promptness, the quickness in action. Boaz, the quickness of action. Also, richness and power of thought. And Boaz, strength of character. Thus, getting to the root meanings, quickness, fleetness, alacrity, strength, and lovely. That when established in substance, when that principle, right, that Boaz represents is established in substance. Substance here in the narrative represents Bethlehem. For Bethlehem or Beit Lehem means the house of bread. The house of bread. You got any bread? You got any house? The house of bread. And allied with the love and alliance with the love of the natural mind, right? The natural human being represented by Cherut or Ruth. They open the way. Their union opened the way for the birth of HaMoshiach, for the Messiah into consciousness. Remember David, a man after Adonai's own heart, heartically speaking. Thus we have David, the great grandson of Boaz. He is a type of Moshiach. He's a type of, well, actually David is Messiah, but he's a type of the Moshiach in the sense of HaMoshiach, Yeshua. Yes, I, Rastafari. There was one other one we wanted to touch on right here because she's the main, you know, she's the main character, though the book is not named after her. It kind of could have been, but you could say Ruth in a sense, as they would say, so to speak, she stole the show. Right. But, you know, as a co-star, as it were, we have Naomi. So let's touch on Naomi right here, metaphysically speaking, because in the reasoning here, we should be getting the keys, right? The keys of what the harvest, right? And the seed growing in the ground of our being, right? Is all about. Here we have Naomi. Naomi in the Hebrew means my sweetness, my pleasantness, delight, my beloved, my delight, beauty. Naomi, Naam, Laam, like sweetness, pleasantness, or Naomi, my sweetness, my pleasantness. Who is she? Physically speaking, wife of Eli, my God, Melek, king. Eli Melek, she was the Eshet, the wife, the Isha of Eli Melek. She was the mother of the first husband of Ruth, the Moabitess. She was an Israelitish Isha, woman of Beit Lehem, Yehuda. With her husband and sons, she went to live in the country of Moab during a famine. So she got out because of the famine. That reminds me of Psalm. Which Psalm is that? That's Psalm 37. Is that the Fret Not Thyself Psalm? Where it says, in spite of the hardship to dwell in the land, but they chose to, you know, skip the country and they went to Moab during a famine, right, in Yisrael. In Moab, her husband and sons died, and she came back to her own land, a widow. And we have that throughout Ruth chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. But here the metaphy cycle of Naomi. Naomi also represents the soul, the psyche. When it has failed to unite Mawahad, the Tawahido, the Hebrew Tawahido, with Elohim, with the true good, the true God. The soul feels, Naomi, the soul feels that the Almighty Shaddai has dealt very bitterly with her. When she fails, the psyche fails to express itself under the law, under and in the Torah of Yahweh, of Yahuwah, of Jehovah. Naomi, representing the soul, the psyche, goes out, may Yahuwah, from Jehovah, charge. She went out charged with spiritual ideas, with spiritual seeds. Man, the human being, has free will, measure of free will in the exercise of spiritual ideas, and may utilize his soul, nafsho, the psychic forces, in the sense consciousness. But he is always brought back to his original spiritual, irritical starting point, no matter how far away from the source of his being he may wander. This is brought out in Ruth chapter 1, right? Chapter 1, verse 21, where she says, I went out full, and Yahweh, hey, Yahweh, have brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing Yahuwah have testified against me, and Shaddai has afflicted I, the Almighty has afflicted I. Now the nature, right, the love nature of man, of the human being, the love nature of man, of humanity, the human being, is satisfied only as the soul, the psyche, is attracted to thoughts of spirit. The love nature of the human being is only satisfied as the soul, the psyche, is attached to thoughts of spirit, of the irit, the ruach. Then love becomes a magnet to attract. Then love becomes a magnet to attract into one's experience only that which is uplifting and constructive, that which uplifts and you can build upon. Here, we can refer to Ruth chapter 1, verses 14 to 22. Let's move forward right here. Look more, brothers and sisters, symbolically, right? Learning to read the sign language, we say the Hebrew hieroglyphs, the sign language, the symbols, right? Symbolically, Naomi represents the outcome of the soul's, the psychic experience, the nefesh, the soul, her experiences. When in its apparent lack, it turns to the resources. When in its apparent, what appears to be lack, one turns to the resources of sense. When we say sense here, we're saying in the sense that Robeinu said it when he spoke about five, the 10 virgins, five were wise and five was foolish. The foolish virgins don't have oil in their lamp. Some have our senses, we may have like our senses, we see, we hear, smell, taste, touch on the fine cycle level, but the spiritual level, we're blind and deaf and dumb. So here, the apparent lack, when in its apparent lack, the soul, she turns to the resources. And we say she, we're saying the soul in male or female, because she is she, according to the Hebrew science. She returns to sense, the sense nature, and what we call the satana of the senses, instead of to Elohim, instead of to the source. This is what it means by going into pharynx. Going into pharynx land, a foreign land, a pharyngi, a foreign land. When apparent lack sets in at home, how many times do people set out to go to a foreign land? Prosperity may seem to express for a season in the new surroundings, but the ruling thought of sense is material. The apparent prosperity, the prosperity that appears in such a situation that it brings, cannot be permanent. The love of the soul is for the spirit. The love of the nefesh is for the ruach and for the people of Ruach, the people of spirit. Now, metaphysically, the people of spirit is also the thoughts of spirit. When it is true to its highest wisdom, the highest chokmah, that wisdom that comes from above, as James speaks on, it becomes a magnet, to attract other souls of like character to the higher heights, the higher liberty, the higher life. Naomi, her name meaning my pleasantness. Naomi, my delight. Naomi, my beloved, may also be said to represent the divine, the divine feminine, or love. Her history, it illustrates the search of love for satisfaction in outer things when there seems to be a dearth, a lack in the inner, in the innermost of the innocence. The result of leaving the true spiritual environment, the ear, the atmosphere, the true iris, the true spirit, for what seems in the outer to be riches and honor is disappointment and lack. A return to the old home, the father's house, Abba's Beit, Israel, the real, is necessary. Nay, it's a necessity. Ruth here means sweetness, beauty, and firm will. Ruth now in the context with Naomi, Charut here means sweetness, beauty, and also firm will. Also, as His Majesty says, to make our wills obedient to what He says here, to make our wills obedient to good influences and to avoid evils to show the greatest wisdom. Notice how Ruth, she made her will obedient to the good influence, right? Being around Naomi, being around that Israelite, and she also avoided evil. She didn't follow Orpah, right? Back to the Moabite stuff, you know, the Moorish Moabite stuff, right? So she showed that greatest wisdom as well, right there. Now, she represents the symmetrical, the sacred geometrical, the symmetrical expression of the soul in form. Naomi, she loves, right, the beautiful body, Ruth, but in her lack of spiritual sufficiency, she tries to deny its place in her life. Ruth, Charut, clung to Naomi. The spiritual quality of Naomi awakened the soul of her beautiful body, Ruth, and an indissolvable attachment, an attachment that could not be broken, could not be dissolved, was formed between them, almost like mother and daughter. Beit Lechem, Bethlehem, it means the house of bread. And here for this Rastafari, the Pentecost, here in the season, Shavuot, it's very interesting, the bread connection. The beginning of the barley harvest, it symbolizes a renewal or a reunion of the soul and body with the true substance, with the really real. Here, brothers and sisters and brothers, yes, Rastafari. Here, maybe on the outro, we'll share this here, Chan, right here, right now. We're looking at the time right here, right now. Chan. What can we share with the eye just to seal this up in very much grace? We're going to play White Mice, Jaja, Give Me True Love. That's a good tune. Like this here, Majek Fashek, right here. Majek Fashek. I hope the brother is well. You know, I, Rastafari, Nigerian brother, I think he's over there. Hope he's well, really do. You know, he went through some trials and tribulation, but his music is itiful. Here he has a tune right here. It's called Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, like to share this with the eye on the outro right here. But as is, I and I tried right here. There are certain psalms right here that we often share. The first day psalm, you know, as well as Psalm 144, Psalm 67, Psalm 144, the Sabbath Seal Psalm. Psalm 67, also a Sabbath Seal Psalm that has in it the baraka, the blessing. You know, it's kind of an adaptation of the blessing we have in the Nazarite chapter, at the end of the Nazarite chapter, the blessing on Yisrael. So let's do this right here. We're going to do it like this, if we can get this in right here, brothers and sisters and brothers. Here, Psalm 67 right here, the baraka.
Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him, 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 shall fear him.
Let the mercy shut up. Rastafari, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah, elect of himself, mighty and thunder, rebel exhibit, massacre, and Yahweh, the goose and the gods, let Jah be praised.
Kadamawi, Kadamawi, Inflatia.
The whom praises is due for
Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. The Lord.
brothers and sisters sharing love together now. I can see new heaven and new earth, oh Lord. Yes, I can see, yes, I can see.
But the kingdom of God is come. Prepare your mind, prepare your soul, your reward shall be on that day. Prepare your heart, prepare your soul, your reward shall be. Against you.